Washington State was absolutely blindsided by Jimmy Rogers leaving, heading to Iowa State. Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome on into the Pac-12 Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Rao. Let's get right into it. Chad Kiba of Up West Sports joined me for this conversation because this weekend was wild. There was a lot of coaching changes happening. Of course, we got the college football playoff announcements. Bowl games are being announced. But the biggest thing to take over is Washington State. Jimmy Rogers is no longer the head coach at Washington State. And for the second year in a row, Washington State will be without a head coach for the bowl game. And for a second offseason in a row, they will be looking for a brand new coach to lead their program. Chad, what's your overall thoughts on this? Because it seems like it was a pretty big blindsided move against the university.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm a glass half full guy, though. I think if you look at it, Cougs have had winning seasons back to back to back to back years. We've had four coaches in those 5 years, and we continue to win. So people want a piece of that magic. So hey, that's my perspective on that side. And it's also in hand, too, where the college landscape is different than it was when we were going to school, when it was 2 years ago, right, when they made those significant changes. So we knew this was going to be tough. I mean, we knew that, you know, WSU historically, since Leach entered the building, has brought winning tradition here, and schools want that. And Pullman's a place where you really not only find yourself, but you really like hone in on your craft too. So you're going to find talent that, you know, exceeds their expectations when they get on campus. So no, I'm not surprised. This seems to be a thing. I mean, we're not in that, you know, those Power Four conferences. So it's really going to be, it's going to be a consistent thing unless you find that guy that's going to want to stick and that believes in Pullman and is comfortable with that lifestyle and doesn't want to seek out those things. So, you know, it's tough to see as a Cougs fan. I had to take like a little 24-hour break. I felt like after the Mariners, you know, losing to the Toronto Blue Jays, just this wind taking out of your sails a little bit. You felt good. A coach that, I mean, he had me fooled. I met with Coach Rogers on two different occasions, alumni events in Seattle in the offseason when he first came on. And he had me fooled, honestly. I mean, he said all the right things, a lot like Coach Dickert too. So it's one of those things too, where you're going to have those wounds. You're going to have some trust issues. But I think at the same time, Cougs fans, like, we need to realize like where we're at and where we need to get to be in the best possible position to get a seat at the table. So before I lose anybody on this podcast, I want to just make sure I make a mention, double down on your efforts with the 1890 club, get connected with the collective, raise your hand. How can I help? Even if it's, you know, hey, I'm going to this away game. I want to help at a tailgate. Like, how can I raise awareness? Let's talk about it. We're mighty by many. So I'm going to leave it at that. Just a little salt in the wounds, but hey, I think Jelly Roll said it best at the CMA Awards. There's a reason why the rear view mirror is smaller than the windshield, baby. You got to look for it.
Oh, I love that. That's good. I mean, and if you want to travel, they're going to the Idaho Potato Bowl. They're going to be taking on Utah State for their bowl game. That's pretty good as well. A new Pac-12 matchup going to happen in July of 2026. You mentioned Dickert, though, obviously going to Wake Forest. He just gets an extension in all this crazy news happening. And then, of course, Jimmy Rogers going to be the new head coach at Iowa State. There was some reportings that this was always the end plan for Jimmy Rogers. This is something that there was a report that came out saying that he has been in conversations with Jamie Pollard, the athletic director at Iowa State, for quite some time, you know, even before he made to move to Washington State. So it sounds like this was the ultimate goal for him, although it wasn't something that, of course, was let out to the public because, hey, it's a business. You got to do what you got to do in the eyes of a personal thing. I understand the glass half full thing, Chad. I really do. But at the same point, some things I'm getting from the fan base of Washington State and just as Pac-12 fans in general, it almost feels a little numb about Washington State when it comes to the over transition over and over again, especially how different it's going to be heading into next year. The brand new Pac-12, July 2026, your next coach will be leading them into the new generation of this conference. And you thought you had momentum with Jimmy Rogers. You're bringing in 75 brand new players, most of them coming from the FCS level, and you still find a way to go 6-6 on the season, in which, might I add, those, some of those losses came Ole Miss, almost taking down Ole Miss in Oxford, almost taking down UVA in Charlottesville, almost taking down James Madison. Two of those three teams are now in the college football playoffs, and you almost beat them in year one of Jimmy Rogers. That probably helped his resume to get him to Ames, Iowa. Overall, though, this is going to be the third straight year that you have to basically reset from ground zero, but it's different now. Now you have 8 teams in the conference, not just 2. This whole change over from the old Pac-12 to the new, this is the year of transition. How do you feel this is going to be for Washington State? Does this put you at the bottom? You have to build it the very back up? Or are you able to have any of this momentum that you utilized this season and still build from it?
Yeah, I mean, I just think we're going to just start seeing more and more of it. But it's a domino effect. Yeah, sure, we lose some guys. A coach goes somewhere. But we're going to be taking somebody else's coach. And players follow that, too. So there's a retooling that happens year over year. There's a needs to be a new mindset in the way you look at it, too. Like, sure, knee jerk reaction, be upset, like, because we were lied to. There's no other better way to say it, right? Yeah. We were lied to as a fan base. You can be upset, but just know that, like, just you got to just be patient. I really feel like we have the best people in position in our collective, within our booster network. I really like President Cantwell, where she came out yesterday and she said whatever that was. And yeah, really just kind of just unifying, I think, the alumni base. I think it's what people needed to hear. So yeah, it's just one of those things now that we have to be a little comfortable with. But I feel like with this next hire, we got to get it right. And contractually, we got to get it right. I know Rogers probably paid at a lesser price coming from FCS, but get a little more aggressive with how we're paying our coaches. Put something in the contract that if somebody's going to poach them, we're going to make money from it so we can improve our coach year over year. There needs to be incentive like, hey, coach, you're coming into Pullman. Since Leach, this is our overall record. It's almost 600 winning percentage. We have a tradition here that we've created. If you want to build on your resume, there's got to be a give and take. You got to earn your way out of here. And it's the same thing that, you know, goes for players. There's ways of fixing this in the landscape, too. You look at the Cougs the last couple of years, we're going to produce 2 first round quarterbacks in NFL drafts. I mean, Mateer is going to be a first round pick eventually. I don't think he's going to probably go into the draft this year, but there needs to be some kind of give back because Cougs keep giving to everybody else, not receiving. So I think there's going to be a change. And I think really what it's about is just the Cougs coming together and being okay with it for a little bit until the landscape kind of fixes itself.
I like that security idea for the future outlook of the new head coach for Wazoo. Is if you think it's going to turn into for the next couple of years, maybe we've seen this happen in the past with Oregon State, you know, obviously with Jonathan Smith, other people leaving to go to quote unquote greener pastures, although it's not always greener. We saw Jonathan Smith getting fired for Michigan State just this past season. But if you're going to build in that sense of security for your new head coach into the contract, I think that's a really good idea. And I think that helps with leverage a little bit. That might push away some candidates, of course, but at the end of the day, that might mean that you're actually pushing out the bad apples. You got to find one that can build a program, work on character, work on energy, kind of like what we heard from Oregon State, Jamarcus Shepherd. I think that one's a home run hit, to be completely honest, although there's a risk. For your side of the fence, for Pullman, what do you think about the new head coach here? Obviously one, Ann McCoy, no longer the athletic director. So maybe that's one thing that maybe helped push Jimmy Rogers out. Maybe no program stability. Of course, that could be a concern. We're heading into, you know, we're in the wild west of uncertainty when it comes to college athletics. If there is even more uncertainty inside the program, that doesn't really help when it comes to head coaches. But when you're searching for a brand new one, who do you point to? Do you point to somebody maybe with a top tier type of program, or looking for somebody that can really bring seats into the stands? Or are you looking at somebody that has Washington State alumni? What are you looking for as the next head coach for Wazoo?
I look at the last 2 coaches we had, Midwest guys, and they ended up going back to the Midwest in a way. So very think it's more of, I'm looking for Northwest ties. Like, I just don't want a home or family to be a reason for you to leave in any kind of way. Or like, what was that dream job? What's that dream job you had since you got into coaching? So I'd be looking, the list I have is very much a Northwest or Washington State specific list. So I think that's where I'd be sticking right now. I think there's a ton of candidates that could be available that kind of fit that criteria. I'm open to anybody. I think we need to be comfortable with there being a little bit of carousel. If it's a 2-3 year deal, then we retool again. I'm comfortable with where we're at. And I think as just Coug fans, we need to continue to provide a payroll that's competitive in the NIL landscape.
So no pushing towards John Gruden, no pushing towards Ed Ogeron, some of those names like that. You want to push more towards the NW guys?
John Gruden already said he wants to coach in the SEC.
Yeah, he does. He does.
So he has one good year in Pullman. He's gone.
Yep.
So that's the thing.
And you'd have to bring that security buyout in if you were going to John Gruden guy, and who knows if he'd actually do it. Yeah. Who knows if it even works?
If we got a $5-6 million payout for him being a one and done, I'd play that game.
And you're one of the Pac-12. I mean, you might as well. I mean, that's something. It's not a bad idea. But who are some of your PNW guys? Obviously, you have some interesting pieces. You know, Justin Wilcox was just fired from Cal. We just saw Neuheisel from UCLA, the offensive coordinator, kind of make a name for himself. He's still looking for a gig. Any of those names pop up to you? Of course, Jonathan Smith at Oregon State. He was fired from Michigan State, and he's back on the market. Any of those names pop up?
Big pass on Jonathan Smith. Reminds me too much of Paul Wolf. Sorry about that, Coach Wolf. But I look at in Neuheisel, that name was brought up today, and I find that really interesting. Maybe a father and son combination, some kind of way. I know Kyle Knowles on the Palouse Playbook podcast that we do weekly. He brought that up in a group chat, so I actually didn't hate that and how that would work, but not on my list. I actually have three. I have three names. I have one. I think probably one that makes the most sense. Local Northwest ties. He had two brothers that played at UW. I look at Chris Heward, offense coordinator for USC. I see that as a really good fit. You look at his coaching career; hasn't had that head coach opportunity, but has success where he's been. Look, his offense has been running really smooth there at USC. I like the thought of having some really nice Northwest ties for recruiting perspective. You just had Sumner win the state championship. There's a lot of great dudes. And the Heward family are from Puyallup area. I would love to go in and just see what kind of disruption we can have. A lot of good teams in that area. Love the South Sound for some hidden gems in the football talent. So Chris Heward is somebody that I'd say yes to. Right away, if he called me and he said I want to coach and he would commit to my terms. second one I have on my list, I got Kirby Moore, Prosser High School guy. He's the offensive coordinator at Missouri. Kellen Moore's brother, I believe. I think he's a good fit, but you know what does that look like for? Does he want to go? Is Boise his dream job in the future? I'm not certain, but I think the fact maybe being close to home maybe makes sense. And he's had the pedigree, and he's a younger guy, so I like the thought of that. Third one, I got to go with somebody who was – I was the equipment manager at WSU, and Mike Leach's first 2 years on campus, and he brought in a QB by the name of Luke Falk. And I don't know if you saw, but today he threw his hat in the ring. I'm not saying yes to that, but I'm not saying no. I'm saying more if I'm – President Cantwell, I say, I really like this person. And if you're going to take this job, he's going to be your QB coach, or he's going to be some kind of offensive assistant. So if you do decide to leave, he's the next man up. That's more of that's kind of where I have my head at. If I'm the AD, if I was to be hired, that'd be my short list.
I like them. I like all those names. And I like the ties bringing it back into the PNW. I think that's really important. If you're trying to utilize, you know, this brand new Pac-12. You have to find a way to have your strengths in this new conference to make it feel like it's a power conference again, because it's going to start off not that way. It's going to be seen as a G6 and the Power Four. That's exactly how it is. We're not going to sugarcoat that to start us off, but there is a path to turn it to a Power Five.
I'm going to say football side of things, landscape, yes, right away. But I say from a basketball conference, I'd say we're going to be making a name for ourselves.
I love that. In the eyes of money, though, you know, it all works about football, but I completely agree. Competitive wise, Pac-12 basketball is going to be really a little good bit right off the bat. Now, without question. Here's something for you. We'll get a couple more in before we get out of here. You're still going to a bowl game. You mentioned taking down Utah State in the Idaho Potato Bowl. That's going to happen in a few weeks. We saw other schools like Iowa State with, you know, Jimmy Rogers going to Iowa State, with Kansas State, with their new hire of Colin Klein. And then, of course, Notre Dame just recently deciding not to after missing the college football playoffs, all declining bowl invites. But again, for the second year in a row, you're not going to have a coach and you're still going to a bowl game. How much respect do you give your university for still saying, we're still going to play, we're still going, we don't need to worry about having our coach, we'll figure that out, but we're going to make sure we give the players the respect and love they deserve?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd start out with a number of seniors in the room. And I know for a fact Rogers had a lot of love for those guys. A lot of those guys he brought over from South Dakota State. And, you know, he got really emotional at the end of the season, just really wanting to get to a bowl game for those seniors and play an extra game. So I think it's good that Coach Bobbitt, the coordinator, is sticking around to lead the ship there. Young guy put together a heck of a defense for us. I mean, I have him on a short list of consideration. Sounds like he might be going to Iowa State with Coach Rogers. But yeah, I mean, I think it's great. We're going to continue in it. I don't like taking a knee on a bowl game. That's something you play for all season. And the fact that it's in our backyard, really close for Cougs, being in Boise on December 22nd, looking forward to that. And a little bit of an early week game. So we'll see what travels look like before Christmas. But I'd say Cougs, let's show up. Let's rally for Crimson and let's show our pride.
Transfer portal is only one time and one time only this year, January 3rd to the 16th. I believe it's either a 3rd or the 4th. It opens up. It ends on the 16th. There's only one window. That's it. Right now, Washington State is, of course, at a disadvantage because you don't have a head coach. You still have to build the staff. Recruiting is really at a standstill, if you will think about it, at least in the eyes of the transfer portal. How fast does the university have to get this head coach and get it right to make sure they're ready for the new Pac-12 in 2026?
Yeah, it's like, what does that look like? Do you need the chicken and the egg first? Do you need the AD first before you hire? Or do you have the name you like as a president and you're the one that kind of makes that final signature anyways? So make the move. I'd say go get your head football coach right away if the AD doesn't follow. I'd be curious on what kind of tandem you can get with an AD head coach combination to get it done quickly. But I think it needs to happen within the next week because you got to give yourself – I'm a salesperson at heart. You know, you gotta make those dials. You gotta have those conversations. You're looking at replacing 35 to 45 scholarship guys. That's the name of the game right now. Depends on where you're coming from too, and how many you can bring with you. But you gotta fill out a roster. You gotta give it some time. I'd like to give that coach a full month in that window, and then, you know, allow the rest of the offseason to kind of figure it out itself. But Coach Rogers, I'm trying to think of the timeline that he had, but I know Dickert left right at the end of the season, right? So same timeline we had now. So it seemed to work out. I think it'll be fine.
Also had two portal windows last year, though. That is something that does definitely change a little bit. I think this new portal window is going to be wild for everybody. With everybody's trying to just hunt down the same people in a 10-day period. And I think if you're missing a head coach, and you mentioned it, chicken or the egg with the athletic director, I think that could be huge. So I'm with you. I think you got to make a hire right away. Final question before I let you go, Chad. The 2026 Pac-12 conference, I think it's going to be really fun. From a football perspective, since we're talking Jimmy Rogers heading out here and looking for a new head coach, right now, where Washington sits now, of course, head coachless, of course. But when you're looking at the future of the program, the players that you expect to stay around with Wazoo next year, even with, you know, players potentially leaving to Iowa State or other ones in the transfer portal, where do you like them in the eyes of the Pac-12 in year one?
Winning it, baby. Winning it. I mean, we're just, I'd say we're going to be at least in the contention. I full-heartedly believe that. As you just look at historically what we've done on a record basis over the last 15 years, we've been a good program overall. I really liked how we looked this year versus our next year Pac-12 opponents. So I think outside of that, obviously you have to think about San Diego State. You have to, Fresno State looked pretty decent. Boise State looked pretty good. And then, I mean, Texas State, I know leading up to signing day, I'm not sure how they finished, but they actually had a pretty decent signing class. I think it was one of their top ones in their school history. So I love to see, and I think that's also brings a lot of great recruiting. Washington State, I know we'll see how it kind of settles, but we had a lot of great talent we brought out of the state of Texas. So I think I will continue to go after that pipeline.
Yeah, exciting stuff. I'm so pumped for the new Pac-12 coming in July of 2026. I think it's going to be a wild ride. Every single one of these teams have some great conversations to talk about, including your opponent in the Idaho Potato Bowl against Utah State. Chad Kiba of Up West Sports, let everyone know where they can find you on social media, all that good stuff. And of course, you talk about Washington State and the Mariners over on Up West Sports.
Oh yeah, Up West Sports, plus Playbook podcast, say that three times. We got to work on that one. Maybe call it the Triple P's or something. But yeah, we do that. And we also do a lot of Mariners content too. So yeah, look us up, Up West Sports. I do that with my buddy Gavin Height, also Kyle Knowles. And yeah, we have fun with it. So thanks for having me on, man.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. There'll be a lot more of that. You can find his description in the show notes below where to find Up West Sports, and there'll be a lot more Pac-12 content coming out very soon. But until then, we'll see you back here with another episode of the Pac-12 Daily.